Well, you didn't hear when I messed up the fall break with the spring break. You hear that?
No.
Okay, good. Okay. So, what's new sermon series led by the Spirit, but it's about the Holy Spirit. And my hope is that we grow into this understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. Normally, we as believers receive and understand very well the person of the Father, the Son, and then when we get to the Spirit, we need to continue learning and growing and doing all of that, okay? So are you ready? Please stand. Let's read the scripture together. We read the Bible in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father. Live with you, and he will be you. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Let us rest and us. We have the eyes to the last things. Let the last things speak. Say to you, the Holy Spirit. Yes. Pastor, please, sorry for him. He's home. That's him, son. We will test if we will test our hearts. So, yes, come, Holy Spirit. You are welcome on this place. Come, Holy Spirit. We recognize your presence among us. You are everything to us. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. So we are going to reflect in this idea of God, the Holy Spirit. The understanding, as I said, that there is a familiarity with the Father and the Son, not with the Spirit. But at the same time, this revelation that the Holy Spirit is not an accessory to you, the Christian life, he's God himself. And the more we receive the revelation, it's going to impact the way we live. He's God himself indwelling us. As we receive the testimony of Jesus, we become children of the living God. So today, we affirm that his divinity, by recognizing his personhood, he speaks, he wills, he feels and knows things. So this is something that, as I said before, makes us different from all the religions in the world. That we have a relational God, right? We have a relational God. So we don't have a God that is distant over there and we don't know and we have to scream and call his attention. He is here. God is moving. He's among us. Right? He's in the midst of our life and the way we move and the way we live. But let's start diving into this understanding that the Holy Spirit is God. So 1 Corinthians 3:16 and then 6:19, we're going to hear about the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3:16 and 17. By the fact that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit dwells in God's temple, which is the believer. So your body is the temple of God and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, is living in you. That's a big difference from the Old Testament when the Spirit of God descended upon a temple or sometimes one person, a prophet, but now he's dwelling in us, the body of Christ. We all have the Holy Spirit, and that's a big change because in the past, for you to experience God, you have to go to the temple. Now, for you to experience God, you go everywhere, right? That's powerful. Jesus shifted everything. So when Jesus came and he went out, he said, now I am the temple, I am the living temple, and I'm going to show you how life is lived with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So he was moving around. And in the past, if you go to the temple, If you sin or something happens, you go to the temple to be sanctified. Now you are in the church. You are everywhere. We're living tabernacles. And now God can testify to us about his presence. In the past, in the Old Testament, if you touch a person that was dead, it was unclean. And then if you touch a person that was a with leprosy, you were unclean. Everything was unclean. Everything is unclean. Everything around you was unclean. Well, not anymore. Jesus came and showed us that when you have the Holy Spirit, if you touch someone that is dead, it comes to life. If you touch someone that is sick, it's healed. So everything changed. Do you see the difference? So this is a very powerful ministry and way of life that Jesus have gave us. And that's why when he says you are a nation of priesthoods and kings, shift the whole thing. In the past, every time a king was trying to be a priest, God really punished them. Or every time a priest was trying to be a king, God will punish him. Now he's saying, for you guys, I have a better covenant. I'm making you both. Okay? Which means we can minister inside of the temple, but you are also called to go out into the community and serve God and experience God and release the Holy Spirit in the community. So now he's saying, 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? And Jesus was teaching us in John 16, the Holy Spirit is living in you. It's better for you that I go away. I will send you another advocate, and he will come, and he will be with you forever. And that's my hope, that you receive this revelation, not as a theological understanding, not as a doctrine in a bylaw, but you start really embracing this and living it out. Because when you really get this revelation and understanding, now you will realize that whatever is happening, doesn't matter what is going on, you feel it or you not feel it, he is God. He is with you. That's the promise. You have to trust the Holy Spirit. You trust the Bible. You trust the promise of Jesus, or you trust your own feelings. So regardless of what I feel, I know that I know that the Holy Spirit is within me, is with me. So I don't depend on emotions anymore. I don't depend on music anymore. I don't depend on worship anymore. You know that he is there. So if you really believe to engage this revelation, now the way you walk will change, the places you visit will change, wherever you go will change, your relationship will change, because now you know that God is with you no matter what, that he will never leave you. Not because you are perfect, not because I'm perfect, he will never leave me. Guess what? Why? Because number one, the Father sent him to the earth to reveal himself to us. He will never leave you because Jesus died for you on the cross and is here to reveal Jesus. And now he will not leave you because he is here to reveal to you the cross in the second coming of Christ. So he's not going anywhere. So it doesn't matter what you do. You can scream, you can kick, you can do whatever. You will not experience this idea that the Holy Spirit left you. Every time we experience and we sense, oh, God is not with me. God is not hearing me. God is not listening to me. I feel like the ceiling. Oh, my prayers don't pass the ceiling. I feel like the heaven is bronze. It's iron. I cannot communicate with God. Everything that you are feeling is your feelings. Because the truth is that he's saying, I am in you. So instead of looking outside of you, you need to do this. Looking inside, he's there, waiting for an opportunity, waiting that you open the door, I open the door to experience him. So this recognition of the Spirit, this relationship with God, we as children start with the recognition that he is God. So the moment you start embracing the Holy Spirit is God, then you realize that he is here to be obeyed, not only to be worshipped, but to be obeyed. Genesis 1 and 2, and then in verse 26, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So he was there in the beginning. God was there in the beginning. The Father was there in the beginning. Yet the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. Jesus was there in the beginning. How do you know that Jesus is there? Because Jesus is the Word of God. So every time that God says, let it be light, Jesus is manifesting. Hello? Powerful, huh? Every time God says something, it's Jesus in action because he's the Word of God. Wow. And then the Holy Spirit is moving. So moving, even in the darkness. So we have this sense that when we really say, you know, I know this. But then we go to places where there is darkness, where there is wickedness, and we say, God is not here. Read Genesis 1 and 2. He's everywhere. Darkness, light, wickedness, poverty, prosperity, whatever it is, he's everywhere. We can escape him. He's God himself. He's almighty. Three different persons, one essence. They all are all powerful, all knowing, all presence. We cannot escape them. And when we understand this, not as a doctrine, not as a theological understanding of the Bible, but as a reality, it will impact the way you live. So most of the time when I preach this, what comes to your mind, you go, I know this. That's not the question, if you know this. The question is, are you living this? Are you living this out? Because if you do, if I am, it will impact people around us. You will never be the same. So then in Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So again, connecting with Genesis 1 and 2, God is saying, let us. So the point here is who is God talking to when he says, let us? Right, he's talking to himself, or he's talking to the Father, he's talking to the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? Let us. He's inviting us to a community. God is there. God's not crazy to talk to himself. He's talking to the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father in community, creating, manifesting. And now you and I, when we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, now we get to be part of that family, the heavenly family. That's why God is a God of community. So it doesn't matter how hard you pray in your house or how long I fast or how loud I cry, God's still waiting for you to come in community. Because the only way we know that you have the Spirit is when we are in community. Because when you are by yourself, you can be seeing angels, oh, hallelujah, and then you feel the Holy Spirit and you cry, hallelujah. Well, we don't know how much you embrace the Holy Spirit and how much you are allowing the Holy Spirit to walk through you until you are in community, right? Because when you are in community, you are tested. Your emotions will be tested, right? People, or even if you are driving, you will be tested, right? You will be tested wherever you go, at work or your spouse or your children, and you are in this state of aura and hallelujah and all of that, and then your children do something. Why? So you lost it in a second. Right? Because we are tested to see if you really have the Holy Spirit. Now, it takes time, but the more you are conscious of it and conscious of him, the more you start realizing that everything you say, everything you think, everything you do is being recorded in heaven. The reality that there is no such a thing, Home Alone. You ever watch that movie, Home Alone? Crazy thing happen when you are alone at home? Home Alone. Right? The reality is that you are never alone. It's a lie. You are never alone. Wherever you are, wherever you go, God is there. That's why the psalmist David was writing a psalm, 139. Where can I go from your presence? If I go to the heavens, there you are. If I go to the bottom of the pit, there you are. If I go to the horizon and the sea, there you are. Wherever you go, he is there. You cannot escape him. I cannot escape him. So God is saying to us, hey, receive this revelation. I am God. And when I speak, I'm expecting you to obey. Right? So this is what God is talking to us. But now this type of obedience that the Holy Spirit is seeking as God is not an obedience that is based on legalistic law of the Bible. No. It's a relationship that is based on love. It's relational. You love him, and because you love him, you obey him. It's very different, right? So when you love people, do you guard your heart and you guard the people that you love? Yes or no? Do you protect the people that you love? Do you treasure the people that you love, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse? Yes. So if you are going to have a relationship with God, you are going to treasure your relationship with God and protect it. Therefore, now that I know that He's God and He's with me and I am His temple, I have to be careful what I watch, what show I watch, what conversation I'm part of, where I go, what I do, what music, what media I'm consuming, what I'm doing, because everything I do impacts my relationship with God. Now, He never leaves, but He grieves. And we're going to hear that as we understand not only His divinity, but also His personhood. Now, hear what the Bible says when Jesus was baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove. He's not a dove. He's not a feeling. He's not an experience. He's God Himself walking on earth. He's not an atmosphere. He's not a vague, breathing wind presence in a service. He's God Himself. He's here right now, and He's waiting for us to open the door so He can manifest Himself in mighty ways. And the way you understand this, He gave you this picture of the dove. Why? So we have a picture how sensitive the Holy Spirit is, how pure the Holy Spirit is. Not because He's too fragile. No, He's powerful, but He's holy. The only reason you are going to push Him away is because He's holy, not because He's fragile and He cannot handle you watching pornography or whatever, or following adultery, or just living in envy and anger and whatever is going on in your life, in my life. He will not compete with darkness. He will not compete with evil. He tried to convict you, so we turn around and go in the other direction. If we don't, He leaves us, because He will not force Himself on us. He's going to wait. He's waiting for attention. He's waiting that you are focused on Him. He's waiting and see if you really understand that He's in your life and that you are His temple. Wow. In the moment we embrace this, we're going to see that He's like a dove. Imagine a dove in your shoulder. If you have a dove in your shoulder and you walk like this, how long do you think this dove is going to stay there? Gone, right? So if you understand this, He's a dove, then you, every step you take the step with the dove in mind. Wow. Left, yes, left, right. That's the way a believer should live his life. That's the way we should live our lives. Checking every decision we make, every place we go. Before I send an email, let me check my spirit. Before I send a text, let me check my spirit. Before I watch this movie, this show, wherever it is, I need to check myself. Am I, what I'm doing right now brings me closer to the Spirit? Or push me away? That's the revelation of this. At that moment, it's no longer a doctrine, it's no longer a theological statement, it's no longer a theological profession of faith. Now it's a relationship, and you are living it out, and people will notice. So we need to wake up, church. Because the moment He leaves the church, we will see it. We will notice it. He will be present, regardless of what we feel. And sometimes we come in and say, oh, the Holy Spirit is not here. I don't feel anything. You are the one. You are the problem, my friend. Because if we are walking with the Spirit, you don't have to wait for a service to experience the Spirit. Hello? And that way, that revelation tells you that you don't have to be chasing mountaintops experiences, service, and then revival, and then worship, and then music. And between those mountaintop experiences, you don't feel anything. That's a problem. That's a problem. Because in reality, He's everywhere. He's in the valley. He's in the top mountain. He's in the valley. He's in the mundane, in the ordinary. He's in the sacred. He's everywhere, all the time. In the moment you have this revelation, you are going to acknowledge His presence. You're going to recognize who He is before you even move. So you come to a church and you say, Holy Spirit, I know You're here. When the band comes to the stage, Holy Spirit, I know you are here. The moment you say, Holy Spirit, I know you are here, this stage becomes what? An altar. Stop being a stage. That's the difference between playing a band elsewhere and playing the band here. The difference between a stage and an altar. What makes a stage an altar? The presence of the living God. Preaching the word of God. The gospel of Jesus. That's why this place is sacred. Not sacred because we are perfect, because we all know we are not perfect. Hello. You know why it's sacred? Because we are inviting him here. You know why your life is sacred? Do you know why your home is sacred? Even though whatever is going on at your home, you know why your house is sacred? Because you are inviting the Holy Spirit to take part in every aspect of your life. At that moment, your life is sacred. But Pastor, I have an argument with my husband yesterday. I don't care. You ask for forgiveness. That's a sacred peace. Forgive each other. Move on. Wow. Are you receiving this, church? I hope you are. This is what it says. This is what it says. And then the Holy Spirit says, right? Also, not only with Jesus, but also in the baptismal formula, we have this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father. Wow. So God is saying to us, I want to reveal myself to all the earth. Preach the gospel in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then you go to Acts chapter 2, and you see Peter preaching the gospel, and he only says, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Some people are taking this and saying, oh, we don't need to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are only baptizing people in the name of Jesus. Hey, you need to read your Bible. Peter was talking to Israel. He was preaching to Israel. He was speaking to Israel. Israel already knew and knows the Father. Israel knows the Spirit. The only person they needed to receive was the Messiah. So Peter is saying, hey, receive the Messiah. Now, for us, the nations of the world, we didn't know the Father. We didn't know the Son. We didn't know the Spirit. So Jesus is saying, as you go to the nations, they are blind. They don't know. Now, baptize them in the name of the Father so they know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they experience love, grace, and power so they can continue my mission. Wow. Wow. And I said, well, Lord, I want more of this. I don't know you, but I want more of this. I want more of this. And understanding that he's a person, not a feeling. It's not passion. It's not enthusiasm. It's the Holy Spirit. He's visible. He's Father's voice. He's there. He's moving with us. He communicates the truth with clarity. Not a force, not a voice, but he is guiding us as believers of the living God. So, will you recognize the personhood of the Holy Spirit? That he's a person. And if he's a person, that recognition marks the difference between walking with the Spirit and having a friendship with the Spirit and just knowing God as God. And when we embrace this, I ask the question, how long it took you to develop your friendship that you have? Do you have friends? People that you love? Okay, and you made those friends in 1 month, in 1 year, or in years, right? If you're going to develop a friendship, it takes time. It takes this relationship. It takes consistency. You have to call people. They call you. You need to answer the phone, not 3 days later, but at the moment when they call you the same day, because if you wait 3 days, what happens? The friendship is vanishing, is fading away, because now you are not a priority anymore. But people who are true friends, when they see your name or your call, they will call right away, yes or no? That's why you know who is a close friend and who's not, regardless of what you say or what they say. So, same thing with God. It takes time to develop a relationship, a friendship with God. It takes consistency. It takes getting up again and again. And sometimes your friend calls you, I'm in a car accident, I'm going to the hospital. What do? You drop everything you're doing and you go, and off you go to the hospital, yes or no? So same thing with God. When he's calling you, you drop things and say, here I am, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. You develop that relationship and you get up and you go And God will bless you. And the relationship gets stronger. And now you are friends with him. And now you can communicate with him. And now you know the truth. And now you don't have to read the Bible 24/7 to know what is wrong. Because you will feel it on the spot. And then when you read the Bible, it's a confirmation that what you did was wrong. Or sometimes a confirmation that what you did was right. That what happens when you read the Ten Commandments. How many of you have read the Ten Commandments? Okay, hallelujah. So, did you learn that killing people is bad when you read it or before? Do you know that, you know, taking the name of the Lord in vain and not honoring your father and your mother, do you know that that was bad before you read it or before? Most of the time, you know it before. Do not covet. Do not commit adultery. You know all of that is, you feel wrong. It feels bad. And you do and you hide. The moment you hide, you don't want to talk about it because you know it's bad. It's wrong. It's not right to do that. So this is the personhood. Number one, he speaks. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will do what? Guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So the more you understand God and the more you embrace God, the more you see Christ and the more you wait for him. He's coming. Jesus is coming back again. So when you start doubting that he's coming, when you start doubting that he's not going to come, it's because you stop praying. You stop the communion. Because the more communion you have, the more you spend time in the scriptures, the more you'll be with the expectation that Jesus can come any time. Because he will reveal who Jesus is to us. And not only the cross in the past, he's also going to reveal the second coming of Jesus. Do you think that if Jesus is coming now, will you be doing what you're doing? Or will you change something? If God show up in your house and say, hey, Jesus is coming tomorrow at noon. And by the way, I'm not saying this. It's an example. I want people to put it on Facebook. I say, you say, the pastor is saying that Jesus is coming tomorrow. Because now there is a crazy movement that Jesus came in September. So okay. You know, so it's an example. If you know that he's coming tomorrow, what will you change? Will you correct something? Will you ask for forgiveness? Will you call someone and forgive that person? Will ask for forgiveness? Will you go and serve? Will you go and pray? Will you go and fast? What will you do? Right? That's the change. He speaks. And when he speaks to be obeyed. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, he decides how to distribute spiritual gifts. His will aligns with the Father and the Son. He has a will. He decides what gift I'm getting, what gift you are getting. Powerful. He has a will. Then he says, 1 Corinthians 12, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he, what? Determines. So he decides, and here is a powerful word that I want you to pay attention. It says, the what? The same Spirit. Do you know what that means? It says that the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit is in me, but it's not a different Spirit. It says, it's the same Spirit that visited Adam and Eve. It's the same Spirit that visited Noah. It's the same Spirit that visited Abraham. It's the same Spirit that visited Moses. It's the same Spirit that visited the prophets. It's the same Spirit that visited Mary. It's the same Spirit that visited Jesus. It's the same Spirit that visited the apostles. And it's the same Spirit that is right now, right here. The same Holy Spirit. God doesn't have 3, 4, 5, 6 spirits. It's the same Spirit. And pastor, what does that mean? That means that you have the fullness of God in you. You don't have a little bit of the Spirit. Oh, I'm waiting for the baptism of the Spirit. Hello, church. You cannot have more of the Holy Spirit because you already have the Holy Spirit and his fullness in person in you. Wow. And we are trying to get more of the Spirit, a double portion of the Spirit. All that is Old Testament stuff. We need to stop with that madness. Give me a double portion of your Spirit. He cannot give you a double portion because he is God himself, a person in you. And I ask, when you visit a house, do you go by parts or you show up yourself, completed self? He's here. If he says, I'm here, I'm here. He's there, he's there. The difference is that he's God. He's everywhere. Wow, church. The same spirit. Say with me, the same spirit. Come on, say it like you believe it. The same spirit. Wow, it's the same spirit. It's in me. Because we read about David, and we go, oh, David's so spiritual. Oh, he was so anointed. You too. Oh, you Lord, read about Peter and about John and about all these people. Oh, they're also awesome, the apostles. They have the same spirit that you have. Isn't that a different one? So why are you holding back? Hello? Wow. Wow. He has emotions. He has intellect. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not what? Grieve. And that's a warning for those who have the Spirit. If you don't have it, God would not say to you, do not grieve him because you don't have it. Because you have it, and because I have it, he's saying to us, do not grieve him because he's there. He will not leave you. That in itself is a testimony that we have it. Because the only way we can grieve him, if I have it. If I don't have it, I don't grieve him. The only way you grieve your wife is because he's your wife. The only way you grieve your husband is because he's your husband. Do you know that the only person who can really hurt you is your spouse? You can be all guarded and know everything and be super strong and all that, and then the only person that has access to your heart straight with one word is your spouse and your children. Yes or no? You can deal with the world. You can fix this, fix that, go to war, come back, you don't care, I'm at home, I'm fine, and then your wife or your husband say one thing and you lose it. And you were also cool, leading meetings, everything guarded, everything under control. You get home and your children do something, pow, you lost it. Hello? Why? The people that are connected, the deeper the relationship is, the easier it is, the easier it gets to touch you. So that says, he's in you. You will grieve him. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you say. Be careful where you go. Be aware, be mind of the environments that you visit. Do not entertain things that are contrary to his nature. Wow. He said that the Spirit searches everything. He's the mind of God. He intercedes for us. He knows everything. Romans 8:27. He knows things. Then the Spirit is leading and saying in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me. For whom? For me. The Holy Spirit is saying, not for Jesus, not for the Father, for me. He is the one. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the one preparing the bride to meet Jesus and to be with him. He's preparing the bride, the church. The church without the Spirit is a club. But if the Holy Spirit is here, he is the one. He says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. He's the one giving the call. He's the one testifying to us. He's the one moving and blessing us with his presence. Wow. So I believe that now as a church, we are in this new season, church nominations, October to November. And my hope is that we all embrace the Spirit and let us be led by the Spirit. If he taught you to lead and he taught you to serve, to do something, come and do it. You're going to get some emails next week. So you can nominate yourself, you can nominate others. But they're going to have a meeting November 9th p.m. for all the covenant partners to come and vote and prepare ourselves for this new season of the church. But we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. That's why we know that we are here. It's costly, yes, to follow the Spirit. It will cost you. It will cost me. What it will cost us, Pastor? It will cost us our independence, our pride. But what we will gain is so powerful that it is worthy. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, the eyes of our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear you. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We welcome you to our life. Give us the wisdom, the clarity to discern your presence. We acknowledge you as God Almighty. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray.